Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Seeing what God has done through the course of this study in the book of Galatians. Hearing so many great things, even about the different people that have been up here communicating out of the book of Galatians and hearing the stories about how it impacted them. Talking with people in small groups. I was at three different small groups this week. One on a Wednesday morning, and we had such a great conversation about what God has been doing in their life as they've been tapping into the book of Galatians. One young married man shared with me, he said, my wife and I, we sat around for 2 to 3 hours talking about the messages that have been preached and how it's literally helping reshape our lives and literally driving this conversation deeper. Stopped by another small group, actually went out for the whole entire small group, our first ever East County small group on Thursday night. Man, we had if I got the numbers right, we had 7 people that normally attend Canvas Church, and we had 6 others that have never been, or maybe they came once to Canvas Church, and we had 3 kids, and we had 1 childcare worker. It's like a small church already. Come on, somebody. And we had a great time out there connecting. It was so awesome to see people beeline in this morning to somebody they met and connected with at that small group on Thursday night. And then, man, we had our Breakfast of Champions men's group on Saturday morning. And man, there were a bunch of dudes hanging out. I stopped by just for a few minutes to say hi. I couldn't stay the whole entire time, but I wanted to just drop in and say hi. Cool stuff happening in our church. And a lot of what's taking place is being just discussed around the Bible and specifically what God's doing through this study in the book of Galatians. So I'm excited to take that a little bit further today. Galatians chapter 4, we're going to read in verse 8. Jeff, a couple of weeks back, did the last part of 3 and the beginning of 4. And so I'm just going to highlight one more thing out of chapter 4 today. And then over the next couple of weeks, as we begin to bring this to a close, we'll hit chapter 5 and chapter 6. How many of you guys have been getting something out of this study? You've been getting something out of it? Only 7 of you. Okay. Maybe you need to go back and watch the podcast again. Stop sleeping through service. Praise Jesus. All right. No, I'm just kidding. I actually have this thing, if I see people, and people have come to me before and is like, I'm sorry if I fell asleep. And I'm like, honestly, it doesn't bother me. They're like, really? I'm like, no, I know it's not on me. I'm a good preacher. I just tell them, I said, it's just that you walked in and you felt such the peace and the presence of God. And the Bible says that, man, in him, man, he gives you rest. And so go to sleep. All right. Galatians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 8. And this is Paul once again. And understand this, Paul is not there live with the Galatians. The Galatians being a great community. This is the church in Galatia, a great church community made up of Jewish Christians and also made up of Gentile believers now. And so there's this mix. And so some of that is causing some controversy. You can go back and listen to some of the messages. But understand this, that Paul is not there live with them. He's heard about what's taking place, and he's writing to them to try to bring some understanding and try to bring some correction. Verse 8, it says, but in the past, when you didn't know God, you were enslaved to the things that by nature are not God's. That's a deep thought right there. I want to read that one again. But in the past, when you didn't know God, you had no relationship with God. There wasn't anything going on there. You were enslaved to the things that by nature are not God's. In other words, that you were literally serving another master that wasn't even a God. And you were doing things out of practice and maybe even habitually to appease that, but it wasn't even doing anything. This is before you knew him. But now, since you know God, and I love this comma, or rather have become known by God. I want you to highlight that thought. That's where we're going to camp out today. But now, since you know God, hold on a second, or rather have become known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and bankrupt elemental forces? It's pretty powerful, right? How is it? Now, remember, he's talking to believers. Well-meaning, good-intentioned people trying to work out their own salvation. He's coming to correct them. How is it that since you've known the grace of God and the goodness of God and the freedom that comes in Christ Jesus, how is it? And I would propose maybe the same question to us today. How is it that we go back to those weak and bankrupt elemental forces. Do you want to be enslaved to them all over again? You observe special days, months, seasons, and years. I am fearful for you that perhaps my labor for you has been wasted. I beg you, brothers, become like me, for I also became like you. You have not wronged me. You know that previously I preached the gospel to you because of the physical illness. In other words, when Paul arrived there on the scene, there was some personal stuff going on, and they took him in, and as they became to know God and Christ through him, they took care of him and provided for his needs. Verse 14. You did not despise or reject me, though my physical condition was a trial for you. On the contrary, you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Wow, look at that. The love and the compassion they once showed Paul because of their new life in Christ. But then verse 15, what happened to this sense of being blessed you had? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? They are enthusiastic about you, but not for any good. Instead, that they want to isolate you, now talking about the others, so you will be enthusiastic about them. Now, it is always good to be enthusiastic. Come on, somebody. That's why your pastor's enthusiastic. It's always good to be enthusiastic about good. And not just when I'm with you. My children, I am again suffering labor pains for you until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be with you right now and change my tone of voice. I think that's funny. Because I don't know what to do about you. I wish I was there so you could hear my tone of voice. Because I really don't know what to do with you anymore. Right? What's happening here? What's happening here is they came to know Jesus and they found freedom in Jesus, but now they have turned back and they no longer have that freedom in Jesus, and they are now back in bondage to the weak elemental forces, doing things, observing things. I want to talk to you for the next few moments about verse 8. But in the past, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to the things that by nature are God's. Bring it into verse 9. But now, since you know God, or rather have become known by God. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. God, I pray that in the next few moments that we have together, Lord, you would speak to us. God, connect these words to where we're at today. God, connect this message to where we're at right now. And speak to us, I pray. God, I pray that you would help me now as a communicator in this place, God, to do my best to create an environment for people to discover you, Jesus, to know your love, and to realize the amazing plan that you have for each and every one of us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Know or known. Paul makes this statement. He says, now that you know God, or rather, you're known by God. It's just kind of tucked in there, but really it's the theme for today, and it's such an incredible subject. Has anybody in here ever had a secret admirer before? You don't have to raise your hand. Nobody did. Okay. Maybe you didn't have. How many of you guys in here ever had somebody admire you secretly, and then you found out about it? Anybody ever had that happen? Okay, some of the hands are like, oh, this is kind of awkward. Okay, let's make it a little less awkward, all right? How many of you guys in here remember the time, for those of us that are married or had been married, you remember the time when you found the one, right? And you were so attracted to the one, but you were uncertain how they felt about you. Do you remember that moment? Right? Like, and so we'll take the secret admirer weird thing out. Let's just talk about this for a moment. I remember when I first met my wife, and she clearly wasn't my wife when I first met her. But I remember when I first met Katie, and there was this instant attraction. And you might be out there saying, how is that possible? I thought she was hot, and I still do. Come on, somebody, all right? I know I'd love to be up here as a pastor and say, man, she was just so intellectual, and I was so attracted to that. That came later. She's very intellectual, and I'm attracted to that. But when I first saw her, I was like, hello. And I just was like, and then the more I got to just talk with her, I was like, man, like, she's amazing. And you know, and but there was this thing in me where I was like, okay, I'm into her, but I don't know if she's into me, right? Like, and so what do? You try to do things to get her to notice you. Y'all, anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? You try to do things. It's like, okay, I think she's hot. She's got a really great personality. She's got two different colored eyes. Can't go wrong with that. True story, if you've never had a conversation with her. Matter of fact, I remember one day, I probably shouldn't share this on a Sunday morning, but too late, all right? I remember I was talking with her dad, and I don't know, we had been dating for a little while now, maybe a couple of months, and I was talking with her dad, and all of a sudden her eyes came up, and I was like, I know. I was like, I didn't even notice she had two different colored eyes for like 3 weeks. And he stops, and he looks at me and goes, well, what were you looking at then? Her Bible. We're reading it together. What did you think? But I remember I would go to these great lengths to do things to see if she was into me as much as I was into her, right? Like, I mean, like, she asked me this question not too long ago. She goes, you haven't written me any poetry in a while. I'm like, baby, I haven't written you poetry since we've been married. I did, yeah, maybe once in the last 22 years of marriage. But you gotta do all these things, right? What was I doing? I wanted her to notice me, right? I wanted to get her attention. I wanted to know, hey, do you know me like I know you, right? Does anybody remember that season? And you just do things to try to see if you get noticed. Paul, in verse 9, makes this statement. And he says, now since you know, hold on a second, that's not what I'm trying to say here. But rather, since you are known. Since you are known. See, something changes in the relationship when you're known. Something changes in the way we live. Something changes in the way we behave. Something changes in our interactions when all of a sudden, hey, you know what? It's not just me knowing somebody or me knowing God, but actually God knows me. That changes everything in our relationship. It changes everything. It changes the way we live out our daily spirituality. It changes the way we interact with our Heavenly Father. It changes the way we interact with other individuals in this journey. When all of a sudden, when we realize it's not just me and I know Him, but rather He knows me, everything begins to change. Do you know it's possible to actually know somebody or really know things about somebody without them ever knowing you? And here's what's happening. Paul is saying, guys, the whole relationship before God knew you was based on what you could do in hopes that God would notice you. But I want you to know something. It's not about that you know Him. Everything changed the moment He knows you. You don't have to try to get God's attention. You don't have to try to get God to notice you. Are you with me this morning? See, here's the reality, ladies and gentlemen. We do not have God's love because we started loving Him. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:19 that we love Him because He first loves us. Are you with me this morning? It's not like I began this relationship and said, God, I really love you, and I'm going to show you all of my affections in the hope that you will come and return that love on me. No. We have access to Him, and we have free access to Him because of His great love. For God so loved the world that even before you knew Him, even before you were in relationship with Him, while you were a sinner, and you were out there, and you were in bondage, and you were enslaved to these other things, He loved the world so much that He sent His Son. And now because of His love, we now can in turn love Him. There's a big difference. It changes everything. It changes the way I think. It changes the way I process. Here's the thing. There's when you don't know that you're known, it compels you to do something, right? And really, I think that's rampant in our culture. There's this desire to want to get noticed. in everything, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in the church, whether it's on social media, right? I mean, I don't care how old you are now or how young you are now, there is no escaping the fact that social media has absolutely impacted your life, right? And it's just the subtle things, right? You posted something, and you look. Why does it only have 13 likes? That was a really good post. That was like, wow. I mean, did you not see that cheeseburger I was eating? It was epic, right? What do we want? There's this thing in our culture that causes I was having this conversation in one of the small groups. And I specifically mean the culture that we live in the United States. Because here's the thing. My wife and I, 2 years ago, we went to Italy. And we spent I don't know how long. It was a good amount of time in Italy. It was fun. We should go back. But when we were there, we noticed in the culture there was just pause moments. Like really long pause moments. Like lunching for 2 hours. And that wasn't tourists. That was the people that lived there. The tourists were scurrying around frantically. Like, oh, they're the people. You could tell who the tourists were. They were the ones like, done with the food. Let's go. Man, everybody else just kicked back. Just eating, talking. I mean, we went to the bank to try to get money. And they were like open for a total of like 5 hours a day. They worked like 3 hours, took 2 hours off, and worked 2 more hours. And I'm like, what is that? I want those hours, right? But see, there's this thing even in our culture, and it bleeds over into our relationship, that we've got to do something, and it's subtle. It's subtle. We might not always realize we're doing it, but the way we live our life on a constant bleeds into our relationships, leads into our relationship with Him, and we feel like we've got to do something. But we need to push the pause button. I remember one of my old professors one day was just talking to the class, and this is while I was in Bible school, and he said, you know, you got to remember something. God created us to be human beings, not human doings. We are just to be with Him, be in relationship with Him, not always constantly trying to do something for it. Changes everything when we are known. Listen to this one. Matthew 7, 21 through 23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? All good things, by the way. Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. See, it's not about knowing Him and getting Him to try to notice us by doing. No, it's just simply by being in relationship with Him and understanding that there's a fundamental change that takes place when all of a sudden I understand He knows me. He knows me as His child. He knows me. He knows everything about me. Let me just give you a few takeaways from this passage today. Because I really do believe that this message has the power to change the way you live out your spirituality. The first one is this, first takeaway is this, is when I am known, there is freedom. When I am known, when I come to the realization that I'm known, there is absolute freedom. Look at what he says in verse 8. He says, actually, before you knew Him, you were in bondage. Before you knew Him, that's when you were trapped, that's when you were enslaved, and you were serving all these other things that by nature aren't even gods. But when you come to Christ, that's where there is true freedom. That's where there is true liberty. All of a sudden, see, when you really come and understand that He knows you and you're finally in Christ Jesus, you realize that there is rest. You realize that it's not about me doing these things. And in this specific, they're talking about circumcision, something you had to do in the natural. But then he brings up, you keep all these festivals and you keep all these parties and different things. What are you trying to do? You're trying to appease something. That's bondage. But true freedom comes when you are known, when you realize that Christ knows you. That's where true freedom comes from. I've had people say to me that aren't believers, and I've had this conversation many times with people, and they're like, Ben, I mean, you got to live up to all these rules and all these things, and how is that? That doesn't sound like fun. I don't want to be a Christian. No. You see, the reality is they're misunderstanding it because they think that we're doing these things to try to get his attention. Nothing we do now is trying to get his attention. Everything we do now is out of an understanding that he knows me. Listen, like I'll be honest with you, when I first started doing things for her, it was really about me. Am I too honest on stage? I didn't know her well enough to be like, oh, you know, roses are red, violets are blue, you have two different colored eyes. I don't know how to finish that. But I didn't know her, right? What was I trying to get her to know? But all of a sudden, now that I know that she knows me, everything I do is out of love and affection and appreciation for her. Are you with me this morning? So now, you know, I don't write a poem every single week. Why? Because I want to put a lot of thought into it. So she gets one about one every 22 years. It's a lot of thought going into that, right? It changes everything. See, people misunderstand it. Ben, all these rules and all these regulations. Yeah, you sound a little bit like the church in Galatia. No, I don't do those things. Man, I found freedom in Christ. And all the freedom I found in Christ now, man, there's things I still do, but the fundamental thinking has changed. Are you with me this morning? I also have people say to me, I don't know, we had this conversation at our CLT on Wednesday night, I think it was, and people would say to me, Ben, like, I see you living this thing out, and I don't believe it, but what happens if you're wrong? Anybody ever had them ask that question before? Like you're following Jesus, you're reading the Bible, you're living your faith out according to scriptures, but what happens if you're wrong? And I'm thinking, I would like to flip that question back on you because you're not living that life and you're out doing this and living this way. What happens if you're wrong, right? Here's the thing. If I'm wrong in the end of it all, as a Christ follower, if I'm wrong, at least I had a blessed life, a hope-filled life, a fulfilled life, a joyful life, a peaceful life, a life without remorse, a life without regret, a life without second thinking, a life without looking behind my back, a life without, hey, listen, one thing I've learned, you never have to remember what to say if you always tell the truth. You never have to remember, if you just always, I mean, there's no regret, there's no remorse, there's no, are you with me this morning? So if I'm wrong, if this whole thing wraps up and your pastor's wrong, guess what? We still had a really good life. But man, what happens if they're wrong and they don't have Christ in their life? Not only did they live with regret, not only did they live with remorse, not only did they live with pain, not only did they live with all those things, the end don't look so good. When I'm known, there's freedom. There's no bondage. It's just complete freedom in Christ. The second takeaway I have is this, is when I'm known, there is love and compassion for others. There is love and compassion for others. When I'm known, there's love and compassion. Look at what Paul says. Hey guys, when I came and preached to you and you received Christ, you took me in and you had compassion for me. You had love for me. Even in my illness, man, you tolerated me. You put up with me. Where was that coming from? That was coming from your new life in Christ Jesus. That was coming from being known by God. He even goes on to say, where has that gone? Where has the love and compassion gone? It's gone because now they've gone back to a place of bondage. But when you're known, there's freedom. When you're known because there's freedom, you now have love and compassion for other people. I've learned this. Man, when I am in Christ and I am known by God and I realize, man, there's nothing I have to do to please him or appease him, it not only changes this relationship, it changes this relationship because I look through a completely different filter now. I look through a completely different lens. I'm not agitated easily with people. I'm not irritated. I'm not judgmental. I'm not critical. Man, that's such a better place to be. Man, when you are known by God and you find this freedom, man, it changes the way you interact with other people. Man, that's such, I don't know about you, but man, I hate it. And I get there sometimes, I'm sure you too, when all of a sudden I find myself being critical of somebody else, being judgmental of somebody else. What am I doing? I'm putting something on them. But see, here's what happens. When I found freedom in Christ, and I realized that he's not judging me anymore. He already did that at the cross. I'm in Christ. Man, my sins are forgiven. Man, that's a great place to be. All of a sudden now I can look at other people through that same filter, and I can pass on that same love and compassion and mercy that he's passed on to me. That's a fun place to be. It's a fun place to be when you assume the best about people rather than the worst about people. You know that? I don't want to ask, I'm not going to have you raise your hand if you're a critical, judgmental person, but you know who you are. But I could tell you right now, man, it is so much better to live in a place where when something happens, you always assume the best about people. You always think the best rather than gear to the worst. And this can happen when you are in Christ Jesus, when you realize that you are known. There's freedom there. We're not as critical. We're not as judgmental. You show more understanding, love, compassion, and mercy. And here's another thing that changes. And this, I want you to get this because this is so key. The good works I do are no longer about getting to heaven. The good works I do are about getting others to know Jesus. So you need to hear that. When all of a sudden I realize that I'm known by God and I'm in Christ and there's freedom, the love and the compassion I share, because here's the thing. As the church, man, we should show love and compassion, but I've been in that place where it's what I should do, but I'm doing it from a place of, man, God, look what I'm doing. God, look what we're doing as a church. Look, you should bless us now. Have you ever prayed this way before? You ever had this moment where you look at your life and you're like, man, why aren't things going well? Am I the only one that's looked at my life at periods of time and said, man, what's going on in my life right now? And then I'll get into my prayer time and say, God, I don't get it. I've been going to church. I've been, you know, preaching on Sunday. I've been reading my Bible. I've been doing this and I've been doing that. See, nothing's wrong with doing those things. But if that's my prayer, the reason I'm doing them for is completely off. See, when I realize that I'm known, I no longer am doing good works so that I can get to heaven. I'm doing good works so that I can get other people to Jesus. Are you with me? It changes the whole thought process. Is anybody getting anything out of this morning? Or am I the only one that got blessed by it? All right. Lastly, takeaway is when I'm known, it is still possible to slip back into bondage. It's still possible. I mean, here is Paul, and he's writing them, and he is perplexed by it. But you know, we have this thing where we can read it, and we can even be judgmental, and look at the church in Galatia and be like, what's wrong with you people? I mean, you had the Apostle Paul show up and preach to you and introduce you to Jesus. Do you know his story? I mean, his story, it was pretty powerful. I mean, he was on a road on an animal, and he got knocked off that animal and had a vision from God, and man, it changed his life, and he shared that with you, introduced you to Jesus, and now here you are, like you followed Jesus for a little bit, and now you're back into this. What's wrong with you people? But the reality is we end up right there too. We can find ourselves momentarily like, man, God knows me, and man, life is good. But here's the thing, we can slip so easily back into that place of doing. I do something. Find myself back in that place of prayer saying, God, what's going on in my life? I've done all of this. How come this is where I'm at? We're missing it. See, when I'm known, I need to realize, I need to be on guard about it. I can still slip back into bondage. In verse 9, if you read the other translations, he actually says, how is it that you are desiring to go back to that place? How is it that you're desiring to go back to that place of bondage. Why do we slip back? Why do we slip back? I can't answer the question for them, so I actually, as I was reading this over the last week, I added some more to my notes, and I just wrote this down. I said, Ben, why is it that you slip back into bondage? I can't answer the question for them. I can't answer the question for you. And so I just made a couple of thoughts of my own, share them with you real quick. Why is it that I slip back? For me, here it is. Because oftentimes what I see feels safer than what I cannot see. Oftentimes what I see, in other words, here they are. Okay, I found this freedom in Christ, but up until this moment, I had to do all of these things in order to feel momentarily that freedom in Christ. And I have control over that. I can see what I'm doing. I'm following these festivals, and I'm doing these things, and I'm doing this. And so I can see that. But you know what? I can't always see my relationship with God. I can't always see what he's doing behind the scenes. I can't always see what he's doing in my life. But this is tangible. I mean, I show up to church, and man, I can see that, man. If we could base this on church attendance, pastor getting a gold star. Come on, are you with me? Like, if we could base this on, man, I did my devotional in the morning. Man, I'm crushing it. Check out the app. 365 days in the app, right? Some of those times I just clicked on. Okay, I got in. I've seen that with some of even my own kids sometimes. Oh, I was on a streak. I was on a 37-day streak, Dad, and I missed it. I missed a day. And I was like, well, you're going to hell now, child. It's fun having kids. You know, like, you missed it. Like, so what? Read it tomorrow. It's still there, right? Wow. You see, sometimes it's easier to safer the things I can see and the things I, it's tangible, right? It's tangible. For me, I don't know what it is for you. Why do I slip back into bondage? Because it's easier to go with the flow than it is against it. There's the cultural reason. Now, the first one is more of a tangible reason. I can grasp this, I can do this, and so that feels safer to me because, you know. But then there's also the cultural reason that why do we slip back into bondage? We slip back into bondage. Here's why, for me anyway, because it's easier to go with the flow than it is against it. And everything in our culture says do more, do more. It doesn't matter if it's work. It doesn't matter if it's this place or that thing or whatever it is. There's just this compellingness inside of us in our culture to do more. And because that's the way the culture goes, man, it's easier just to go with the flow than it is to be counterculture and say, no, I don't have to do anything. I can just be. Or when I do something, it's not for the reasons of I want to get to heaven or I need God to notice me or I need pastor to notice me or I need church community to notice me. I do it because I'm in this thing and I'm enjoying it and I love it. But see, there's a culture pushing against us that is all about doing. And it's just easier to get in the flow sometimes. In church culture, for me as a pastor, sometimes it's just easier to slide into that moment. Man, because, man, we can build, man, a great feeling of worship with louder and better sounding and lights and fog, which are all of Jesus, by the way. And we can build this sensation and people be like, oh, man, that worship was incredible. But why was it incredible? Did it pull on your heartstrings and tug on your emotions, or did it take you to the presence of God? See, it's easy for me to, oh, man, that'd be so much easier. Because it's easier sometimes to do that and, hey, can we purchase and can we do than it is to drop down on your hands and knees and pray. And say, God, let your presence come today. Because it's just easy. So, I mean, it's like just going against that current sometimes, it just gets weighty. Right? This is just for me, but what is it for you? Why do we slip back into bondage? Because I feel like I have more control. I feel like I have more control. False sense of security. Because I have control over these things, whether I do them or not. And so I'm in control. I control when I do this. I control when I do that. And so it gives me this false sense of security. Because now, me getting known by God and me getting closer to God is all based on me. And so I have control over that. And now I can let him into areas of my life that I want and areas of my life I don't want. And what is that? It's a false sense of security. But the whole premise of following Jesus Christ is that if you want to follow after me, you must daily deny yourself. Who? God, deny me. Pick up your cross and follow him. But yet we end up back in bondage. Pastor, how do I know that I'm, worship team, come on up. How do I know that I'm walking in the right direction? And wouldn't that be a great thing to know? How I know I'm going in the right direction? How do I know I'm headed? How do I know that I'm living a life that's known rather than me knowing him? And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying we come to this place of, oh man, he knows me and I'm just gonna be a lump on a log and do nothing. You're missing it. What it does is it changes the reasons and it changes the compellingness behind it. It changes the motives. It changes the behavior. It changes the roots inside. Pastor, how do I know that if I'm walking, wouldn't it be great if there was a verse that told me? There is. There's actually lots of them. Where do I find such verse, Pastor? In the Bible. Check out this verse. Proverbs 4:18. It says, the path of the righteous. Oh, I gotta be righteous? No, you don't got to be, you is. How do I know I is? Because the Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that I have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, so I just got to be known by him and in him, right? Yes. And check this out. Look what it says. It says, and the path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn, shining brighter and brighter until midday. What? What's that saying to me? It's saying this. How do I know that I'm on the right trajectory? How do I know that I'm on the right path? How do I know that I'm moving into the right? Here it is. Your life gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. It's like you know that the tunnel, right? You've ever been in a tunnel that's really long and it's really dark, and all of a sudden you see the light, and the light's like, oh, how do I know I'm ending, you know, getting near the end of the tunnel? It's getting brighter, 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 brighter. I'm out. How do I know that I'm on the right trajectory? How do I know that I'm walking this path? Because your life gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. It doesn't say in the same dysfunction after the same dysfunction after the same dysfunction after the same dysfunction. You don't say it in the same iniquity after the same iniquity after the same iniquity after the same iniquity. You don't stay in the same sin after the same sin after the same sin after the same sin. Your life continues to get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter until Jesus returns. Are you with me this morning? It's a real easy assessment. Look at your life. Is your life brighter today than it was yesterday? You're heading in the right direction. Are you experiencing more freedom in Christ than you were yesterday? Come on, you're heading in the right direction. It's not a trick question. There's a verse for it. Just sit back and evaluate your life and say, man, do I have more faith today for the impossible than I did yesterday? Do I really believe that my church community is advancing and taking territory and making an impact and seeing more people get saved? Do I really believe that my life, man, is literally getting brighter, a city set on the hill so other people can see the good works, not the good works I'm doing to get to heaven, but the good works, and they begin to see my Father who is in heaven? Path, your path, the path of the righteous. It's brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. See, there's some of you sitting in here right now that you used to be bound up in bondage. And I mean literal bondage, bound up in addiction. But man, you no longer have that addiction in your life. And you no longer there. Guess what, man? That's just phase one. I'm telling you, your life's gonna get brighter and brighter and brighter. Now God's gonna begin to use your story so you can get other people out of addiction. There are some of you in here right now, man, that the early years of your life, man, they didn't have much impact. Matter of fact, it was just full of you, yourself, and I, and you lived a lot of partying, a lot of whatever, and all of a sudden, God showed up on the scene, man, rescued you from that life, and now you're experiencing what real freedom is and what real life is, and what, man, you were strung out, man, you were waking up hungover every morning. Now look what God's done in your life. Guess what? Man, it's going to continue to get brighter and brighter and brighter until you're that city set on a hill, come on, where your friends look and say, my God, what happened to you? Let me tell you what happened to me. Jesus happened to me. Oh, really? You know Jesus? No, it's not about me knowing Jesus. Jesus knows me now. Man, he's got my life in the palm of his hand, and he's using my life however he wants to reach others and to be a blessing to the community. Come on, it changes everything. But all of a sudden, man, God knows you. When you come to that realization that God knows you, it changes everything in your life. God, we thank you so much. Just go ahead and stand to your feet this morning. God, we thank you so much, God, for your word. God, we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path that is leading us as the righteous in a way that becomes brighter and brighter and brighter. And so, God, I ask right now for this incredible community that stands before me. Lord, let us use that, Lord God, as the benchmark for our life. God, let us use Proverbs 4 as the benchmark for our life. Is my life growing? Is my life transforming? Am I known by him, or am I trying to get him to know me? Lord, I pray for each and every one of us today. God, that our life would be that beacon of light, that hope, that city set on a hill. Bright light shining for you. Others would see, come to know you. With every eye closed and every head bowed, whether you're just starting this journey or been on this journey for a while, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, come on, everybody in this place. Say, Jesus, thank you for knowing me. Help me this week to be a light for you. Help me walk out my faith in obedience. Lead me in a way that's brighter and brighter. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.